Presented the greatest opportunity that life can give, and that is to seek Jesus and to hear your word and to apply it in our hearts and our lives. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who will lead and guide and anoint that this may be accomplished. And Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus over this meeting tonight, over the connection and all the saints coming in, because we ask this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, this evening, I'm going to just exhort you in another area of the deeper life. And we're calling our teaching tonight, Be Diligent Over Our Garments. Be Diligent Over Our Garments. And one of the characteristics of an overcomer is that they will not only see that they have these garments given to them by faith, but that they will also be diligent, will be watchful over them. And that is something that should be working in your heart, in your affections, with regard to this. And if this isn't in your heart, or it's not even in your thinking, then tonight things can change for you, because this is a requirement. This is an indication of the overcomers who are getting themselves ready, who are soon to be caught, snatched away for the marriage feast. These are things now that God is beginning to work within our hearts, these affections, these godly affections and desires. And we trust that this will simply quicken your faith tonight as we look at this. And we're going to take our teaching tonight from Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Revelation 3, verses 1 to 6. Be diligent over our garments. That's what we're looking at. Now we're going to look at this. We know this very well, but we need to glean quite a lot from this. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I really just want to hone in this evening, which is quite obvious here when we read this, verses 2 and 3, because this is what it's speaking about, of being watchful, of being watchful. And so that's what we're going to consider tonight. But the warning is to watch, lest we grow careless. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. And this is why God is again reminding us of the deeper life. And he again is taking us over these principles of the deeper life. Because it says here to be watchful, to strengthen things which remain, that are ready to die. So he's wanting us to be reminded why it is that we're called to watch, to pray in these last days. Because he wants none of us to start slumbering and sleeping like the foolish virgins did. So the warning is to watch, lest we grow careless. So how we have received and heard the word, the deeper life, is very, very important. You see, as it says in the first verse, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. So it's possible to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, but really to deny that life and that power in your everyday life. And this is what's so serious about this, that you confess yourself as a Christian, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet he says here, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. And this is one of the huge problems that we have in Christendom today, that many call themselves believers, but actually they're dead because they're not producing the fruit. Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. They're not people who really walk by faith. They still are fleshly and look and trust to the arm of the flesh. Sadly, many churches fall into this. They're alive. Yes, they're living, but really, inside, they're dead. And this is why God is doing the deliverance that he is with the overcomers, the bride that's making herself ready, so that we can be delivered from these dead works. It's very easy to appear as something, but inside, you're not really the genuine article. And God is going to sort this out in the last days. We, in fact, are already beginning to see churches, ministries, some of them, sadly, that are not really delivering the goods, that are falling short. We're going to see more and more who aren't really standing in faith. We know they're not standing in faith by the way they beg and plead and pressurize people for money. That is a clear sign that something's wrong with ministries that are doing this, where they're building these mega ministries, pleading for money. They're so subtle how they do it. And people sadly queue up and give over large amounts sometimes, believing that they're going to be blessed as a reward, because that's always what goes with it. God loves a cheerful giver, and indeed he does. But they pervert it, they change it. They're making merchandise of the gospel. Woe to those in these last days, and many be that are going that way. But praise God, he's called us out from all of that. And in calling us out, he's making us sensitive as we walk day by day so that we guard our garments. To guard your garments means that you're watchful, that you have become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and that anything that may be wrong or anything that's happening, being watchful You are seeing it from a distance and preparing yourself. That is what it means to be watchful. And prayer, of course, is one of the ways in which we can be watchful, so that we can see these things from a distance. We can be aware when the enemy is coming. We hear the trumpet call. We're sensitive to the Spirit. And this sensitivity is so important if we are to walk as overcomers in these last days. But many churches sadly fall into this area of outwardly looking alive, but really inside, sadly, they're dead. They have very little understanding of faith. They don't really always have the anointed Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Many have forsaken the baptism of the Holy Spirit now. It's not important anymore. And yet he is the one who has come to build, to restore his church, to bring us back again under the apostolic faith and anointing of the last days. And yet many don't want this, because it means you walk as a disciple. It means commitment. It means that you walk forward. There's no looking back. And this is what sorts it out, doesn't it? But you see, Jesus tells us how to get free from all of this. And maybe if you're being challenged by this tonight, or you're seeing, gosh, you know, this has my name and address on it, then you've come to the right place, because we're going to look at how you can get free from this, how you can be delivered, how you can move forward as to how he wants. Because in verse 2, it says, be watchful. Be watchful. In other words, our spiritual senses must become alert. Our spiritual senses must be alert for God to take us deeper with him. And there is a knowing in the Spirit if you're going deeper with God. Because in time, you sense it, you experience it, you hear him. He opens the Word of God to you more. He reveals more of himself to you. These are experiences that you can have as you go deeper with him. And he says this comes by being watchful. If you've never asked God to work that in you, then you have a chance now to pray to God, Lord, make me a watchful saint in these last days. And whatever it takes, whatever is required, work this in my life, my heart, my spirit for your glory. That is how you grow, by asking. But sadly, we so often ask for the wrong things. We're so asking for the material things. God said, all you need to do is seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things in this life that you have need of, to live and breathe and walk and work and money and so on, all of that will come. Seek the things that are really important, and everything else just flows. That is what faith does. That is part of the rest of faith. By believing God, just trusting him, everything else will just come. The needs that are there, God will provide. So that you are freed up to be able to seek the deeper things of God, the things of the Spirit. And yet we're still so caught up in fear and anxiety and things that are around us and so on. This is why the Holy Spirit is getting us to be watchful, because as we're watchful, we begin to see far deeper and greater things. When you are watchful, God prepares you in advance to be able to pray and intercede, whether it be for your country, your government, world news, or things that you hear. You can find the Holy Spirit will prepare you to get into warfare and so on, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Most of the churches today haven't a clue of their warfare. They don't see it. And yet, a man or woman who's watchful, their eyes are open to what the enemy's up to and what he's doing. They see it, for they have that bird's eye view, because they fly like those eagles being carried by the thermals. That is what an overcomer is about. And so it means our spiritual senses become alert, so that God can take us deeper. Because there's so much that is just out of harmony with God's will. This is why we also have to go deeper, not only so that God corrects us and brings us closer to Him, but that also we can discern what is so off in these last days. The house of God, the overcomers, are custodians of the revelation of God's word. And part of the restoration that we're in these last days, of God restoring the church, bringing the church back, bringing us back under His headship, also means that he's revealing the sword of the Spirit, the purity of His word, the holiness of His word, His sovereignty to a dying world. And you are part of that. You make that up as the body of Christ. He does it through human beings, individuals who are set, baptized into the local body of Christ. This is how He does it. Because there's so much out there that's out of harmony with God's word and will. We talk about restoration. Well, restoration has to start in you, in me, in the body of Christ. Because we're in the time of restoration, where God is restoring now. As He's restored Israel, she's now a nation. He's now working with the church, restoring and bringing her back to apostolic faith and anointing before He returns. But we need to be alive for this. We need to be sensitive. We need to understand what our faith is about. Our faith isn't just for claiming my needs, my want. Our faith is to embrace the body of Christ being brought back into her fullness, into her apostolic anointing. Saints being brought back under the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, and not under some man or ministry or deliverance or organization or denomination, which so much is what we see. That is not what the church was birthed for at Pentecost. But you have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And indeed, God is doing this. So you see, this moves far, far beyond ourselves, my wants and my needs. And all of that will be incorporated. But you need to see what your life is and should be before God. This is why God's restoring the ministries back into the house of God, as well as the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, Ephesians 4. We're baptized into the body of Christ to function. We're baptized into the body of Christ to believe and have faith, to unite our faith that God will restore and bring His church to her fullness, that the bride will make herself ready. How many today are believing that, are getting prepared for that, are encouraged for that, are being taught for it? This is what concerns me. So few see it. And yet it's all there. It's all there. So there we are. Be watchful. And he then goes on to say, and strengthen the things which remain. So we then come to the second part of this understanding of to strengthen. In other words, it means the weak areas that God is working with. We're talking about being diligent, watchful over our garments this evening. And we're looking at the second part of this. We've just been looking about being watchful. And then the next part is about to strengthen the things which remain. In other words, this idea to strengthen the weak areas, the areas where God is working in our heart and our life, particularly in our faith. This is what he's doing. This is why there is such an emphasis through the word that does this deliverance in our life, this changing, in other words. We have a different mindset. We think differently as God closes those doors that have been open in our mind. He closes those so that, in other words, we can start to yield to the Lord in obedience. So he's working on these areas. They have to die. In other words, they're nailed to the cross. And this is why we're, of course, encouraged and admonished to take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. So that everything is nailed on that cross. Including, of course, ourselves. You see, for example, the Word of God, it's all the while very often dealing with areas of compromise with us. And this is what has to die. This is where we have to be strengthened. Most of the time, God is dealing in our everyday life and walk with areas of compromise. In fact, we don't have to work at compromising. It comes almost as easy as breathing. And this is where we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. This is where we have to move closer with him. And this is where, by being watchful, as we've been looking about, where we grow closer, we become sensitive. So as he works that, so he's dealing with the areas of compromise. And there come seasons and times, isn't there, where he hones in on this area, where we're just simply compromising. We know we're not as alert and as awake as we should be. And maybe he's got to move areas of fear or rebellion. But as we remain with it, as we stay with it, and as we hear the word and take the word into our hearts, so gradually he's working that deliverance, isn't he? This is why we call it a sort of spiritual development. As we yield over to the Spirit, so the life of Christ is seen in and through us more and more as we are developing. And this is why God is honing in on every facet and area of our life. No stone is going to be left. Every stone will be turned over in your life. And that is why it takes God's grace to be under his spiritual microscope. Because otherwise, we will all run away. But he has a way in which he works with us. He has a way where he doesn't judge us, criticize us. His love is ever working with us, both to will do for his good pleasure. He has a way of doing it, but he will apply the pressure at times when we're just ignoring those promptings, when we're just maybe not as sensitive as we should be to the Spirit, or we lose sight of what he's doing. And this is why he's honing in on everything. He's honing in on the areas of being critical. He's not going to have us to sin with our tongues, to be negative over one another, and to highlight weaknesses in each other. And if indeed we see that, then we know what to do, because love will pray and intercede and always believe the best for our brother and sister. He's not going to allow that unloving attitude and impatience and all those things that times have gone on. He's not going to have it. He's going to make us sensitive to all of this. He's going to deal with all these fleshly appetites that the world still tries to lure us into, where we're more obsessed with fleshly things than spiritual things. He's not going to have it with any of us. He's cleaning us up completely. You just have to face them and accept that they have to go to the cross. Anything that God is highlighting in your life, just accept it, that it goes to the cross. How it's done, how it's achieved, when death brings the deliverance, the change, that's up to God and His sovereign grace and mercy. But you have to settle. And this is what a lot of the deeper life in the Spirit is about. It's coming to those places of settling it and not compromising or trying to change God and His Word to fit your lifestyle, what you think you like or what you think you want to do or suits you. God doesn't do that. He's not going to. He's sovereign. We conform to the will of God. And the will of God is that you believe and walk totally by faith in these last days. And all these areas of unbelief that we're still at times pushing under the carpet, God is going to have a way of bringing them out. And they'll keep coming out and keep coming out until finally you settle it. This is how God wants you to walk, is to trust Him totally by faith. And that might mean where you no longer rely on borrowing money and you start trusting Him, and that He will supply, He will provide all your needs. Whatever area, also in the area of physical healing, trusting Him for that. We're getting very, very clear signals, aren't we, now, where you cannot trust so much on the NHS anymore and on doctors and pills and everything. It's now beginning to show signs of breaking up. Well, what are we going to do about that? Ignore those signs? Or are we going to say, Lord, this is real. It's time to trust You for everything. Yes, and as somebody's just written, it's time to grow up. Because that's what He's saying. We still want to be babies. And He's not going to treat us like babies anymore. We must let the cross do its work. God knows exactly how to work that cross. He knows exactly how to crucify those areas of self, unbelief, my wants, my will, doing it my way. I like my life organized. I'm in control. No, He's going to crucify the lot, because you're not in control. You think you are, but you're not. You think you plan your life, but nobody can plan their life outside of God. He goes before and plans for us. This is the way, walk ye in it, the Word of God says. Well, thirdly, looking at this, we've looked at being watchful and to strengthen the things which remain. that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. So in other words, that understanding of perfect means that I don't see it complete yet. And this is where we're being made perfect. We're coming to completion. How do we know? We're just dealing with the things now. This is how we become perfect. This is what pleases God. This is what God is looking for. This is what takes away anything that would try to spot our garments, because that's what we're dealing with this evening. He says, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. This is why, brothers and sisters, we're going over the deeper life in the Spirit, because it says here, remember therefore how you have received, in other words, how you heard, when you heard it way, way back. And he's saying it hasn't changed, the teaching hasn't changed, it is still the same, and he's saying hold fast to it and repent. Now the idea of repent means here, have your knees bowed in my presence. Be continually bowed. That is how the devil gets off your back, to walk humbly before God. This is why God emphasized for some years about humility, brokenness, humbling yourselves before him. This is what he's talking about here. And he says, therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I come upon you. In other words, what it's saying is, you will not go up in the rapture. He came as a thief, and you weren't ready. You weren't watching. He caught you out. And it's all on the basis of refusing to repent. Refusing to allow God to change your mind, your thinking. This is why we make so much on these principles, for this very purpose. I'm reminded again of the parable of the sower, that we have to watch that the seed doesn't die in the heart. And do you know how the seed dies in the heart? Or if it goes there? Because you're not watchful. You're not taking heed to what the Holy Spirit's saying. There's not that repenting, that bowing of the knee. And this is what happens. How do we know this? Well, let's turn to something we know very, very well. In James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Deceiving yourselves. In other words, the seed that goes into the heart will do nothing unless you see that the word that you receive has to be lived, walked, breathed, obeyed, and so on. That is the nature of faith. And that is why the Holy Spirit has come to not only impart that to you and I, but to work that in you and I, to both will and do for his good pleasure, to work in you to be a doer of the word. You can't do it otherwise, because it's supernatural. But God isn't going to go against your will. He's not going to go against your unbelief. This is why you have to believe. The believing is the good ground, is the heart that is receives the word. And the heart that receives the word is a heart that says, in all true honesty, I walk this. I live it. I obey it. And yield to the Spirit with those bowed knees in a heart of repentance so that the Holy Spirit can work that through the empowerment, through the anointing of the Spirit. That's why none of us are without excuse. Because that is how God works it. You try and work this in your own strength and your mind, you fail. And that's why some of us have been despondent. This is why some of us just have compromised. Because you are trying it. You are trying to do it. You still want to be in control of your faith, your destiny, your walk. And it won't happen. This is why God has to change these hard hearts to hearts of flesh. Because hearts of flesh will receive that word into the heart, as the parable of the sower shows us. This is why faith comes by hearing the word of God, as Romans 10:17 tells us. And the emphasis, as we know, is on the hearing of the word. It's how we're hearing. Because our hearing is absolutely paramount to this. And this is why the devil wants you caught up in the world and all the things of the world, because it hinders you, and it stops you from hearing the word of God. But we're told that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It was very interesting. I was watching a program the other evening, a professor talking on the brain, how the brain, the function of the brain. I found it an absolutely fascinating program. And something in that program really spoke to me. He did an experiment of 5 or 6 athletes ready for a run in a race. And they tried 2 experiments. The one in a race, they always use the gun. And then they tried another experiment by a red light coming on and for them to set off. And they found that with the gun going off, they were much quicker than when a light came on, which of course visually they were looking at. And immediately I became aware, yes, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Our hearing, they said in this program, responds much quicker than our eye gate. And that's of course why the world, the church turned the world upside down in the early days. Most of them couldn't read or write, but they could hear. And that is how they believed, many of them, because they heard the word preached. And this is why, brothers and sisters, it is so imperative that we hear the word of God under the unction of the anointing. That is the way God's done it. That's the way he's made our brains. Of course we're to read the word and meditate. Of course we are. But it actually comes by hearing. And I was very, very interested in that experiment that they did. Because that is how the word gets to the heart. You see, when we read, we're probably going to read things that we like, or verses that appeal to us. But when we come under the anointing and we listen to the word of God, we have to hear the Holy Spirit, what he wants us to hear. And there's a difference. So God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to get our attention. This is why we're told in the scriptures it is important that the church hears what the Spirit is saying. Hears what the Spirit is saying. Not reads, but hears. And so this is what God is getting to as I bring this to a close now. If anything, you are to be diligent and watch over your garments, it is still with regard to faith, believing. Are you going through a trial at the moment? Yes, probably most of us in the room tonight, we are. Well, you not only know that that is tailor-made, but that is a trial for you to believe God in faith and to see God bring you through. That is why our trials are molding us into overcomers. They are absolutely tailor-made for your faith, my faith, to believe, to move forward, so that you can be more watchful, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The trials of your faith are cleaning your garments, getting them pure as white as snow. That's why they're tailor-made. And I believe that's the message that God gives to the overcomers in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In many ways, that is spiritually what we see today and what we have been brought out from and separated unto Him. So we're to be watchful, we're to strengthen those weak areas, and we're to hold fast to that which we have heard and we continue to hear until He comes. Heavenly Father, we thank You again tonight for Your precious word. Lord, none of us have been left out tonight. It has spoken to every one of us. And if we love the Lord Jesus, then we yield over to allow Your precious Holy Spirit to have His way in our lives. We know, Father, that our garments can only remain clean and unstained by Your mercy and grace. We've all missed it, Father, a mile off. But the wonder of it all is that You bring us back. You keep us together in unity, in oneness and fellowship. We are so in awe of Your love, Your mercy, Your grace over our lives. Lord, help us to have that sensitivity. Help us to mature and to continue to grow into the fullness that You've set for us, both individually and corporately. Help us to hear that word. Help us, Father, to not only hear it, but believe it and live it and apply it. May that be our source of prayer and intercession, Father. Help us before we come to these meetings, we hear the word of God, that we come prayed up with our hearts ready and open to receive that word and to know that not only to receive it, but to live it and act it as well. Father, work these godly affections within our lives and hearts, we ask, Lord. And whatever it takes, please do it. And so, Lord, I thank You tonight for our sharing, our meeting. Lord, bless all my brothers and sisters. Bless, preserve and keep them always. Father, keep their eyes and heart and whole being looking to Jesus. Keep them from the world. Keep them from the evil one, from those temptations, those things that try to draw and pull us away. May they be wholly set apart unto You and for your service. And help us, Lord, to be watchful, in prayer, ready, armed, equipped, always ready to do the will of the Lord. Father, work that within us, we ask, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
O life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.